With all the cold weather we've been having, I thought of a warning that Jesus gave here in Matthew chapter 24 this morning. I realize we don't have the really cold weather here like Gary and Ramona up in Alaska and other places, but we've experienced some cold days, and Jesus gave a warning here in Matthew chapter 24. And he said in verse 12 that because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. This chapter really is in a context here where Jesus was speaking of the destruction of Jerusalem that was coming upon that generation. And it's important always in studying the Bible to keep things in the proper context. But at the same time, there are principles and warnings that seem to be applicable to us. Even though we're not living in that specific time, he's speaking about there will be times where persecution, trials, false teaching abounds. And it's going to be difficult to our faith. We're going to be put to the test. And because of that, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. And what I'm wanting to think about with each of you today is that something that we need to be looking in our own lives, asking ourselves the question, is that something that might be happening to me? Is that something I might be in danger of happening in my life? Because when we look around and we see things the way they are happening today, we do see that there's a lot of lawlessness taking place. There is a lot of lack of human sympathy, a lack of human compassion and love that seems to be growing. A lot of anger, a lot of hostility. There's a lot of crime that is happening that is very, very cruel and heartless types of crimes that we read about happening and taking place. It's that kind of situation that we're living in that Jesus was describing back in his day. And because of that, because of living in that kind of a time with people around us not having much love for each other, love of many will grow cold. I believe he's speaking here of even those who are his followers. The love of many will grow cold. Certainly, if we are going to escape the wrath of God that the Bible speaks about, we must be careful that this does not happen to us. We must not let our love grow cold. Romans chapter 2 and verse 7, Paul spoke about the fact that eternal life will be given to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. And in 2 Peter 3:14, Peter said, "Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless." So we need to be diligent. We need to not allow our love to grow cold. And I'd like for us to consider this morning some of the ways in which that can happen and that we need to be on guard against that in our lives. And there's four areas that I want to look at with you this morning in the time that we have. And the first one of those is our love for the Lord. Because living in a time that we live where many people maybe no longer even profess faith in God. Although I've seen polls even recently that say that when asked the question, there's maybe 85-90% of people in our country say they believe in God. But it seems like we see a coldness. We wouldn't get the impression from the way people live often, maybe put it that way. We wouldn't get the impression that they necessarily believe in God from their actions and the way they come across. But there are people out there who do. And it's encouraging when we come in contact with people that make it clear that they do believe in God. Jerry Richardson was sharing about the other day coming in from the airport from Phoenix and taking the shuttle van over to the parking to pick up her car, that it was just her and the driver in the van. And he asked her the question. He said, "Well, what brings you to Seattle?" And she said, "Well, I live in Seattle, but I'm coming back to bury my husband." And he felt really bad for her. And he said, "I'm so sorry to hear that." And then when they got to the parking lot, he said, "I would like to pray with you." And so he had a prayer with her. And that really meant a lot. It really touched her. It's neat when we see people like that and come in contact with those kind of people. What Jesus is warning about, a time that the love of many will grow cold. And we think about the love for the Lord when we think about that. Remember Jesus in John chapter 21, following his resurrection, he came up on the shore of the Sea of Galilee one morning and met with his disciples there. And he had some time with Simon Peter. And he said three times to him, he said, "Simon Peter, do you love me?" Peter had recently denied Jesus. Jesus didn't really say anything about that. Didn't even mention it. But he asked him the question, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know that I love you." He said again, "Simon, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, I know. You know that I love you." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." But that exchange between Jesus and Simon points out the fact that sometimes Jesus might be asking us that question. Do you love me? And we might say, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he'll come back another time. He says, "No, I'm serious. Do you really love me?" It's a question that we need to ask ourselves because it happened in the first century that some of the Christians had this beginning of losing their love for the Lord. And it said in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 4, the church in Ephesus, he said, "Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent." And he later spoke about the church in Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3. "I know your works, that you are neither hot nor cold nor hot. But I wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." Well, if it happened in the first century in a church like Ephesus, where Paul spent a lot of his time teaching, and within a generation, no more than that, they have left their first love in that same congregation. What does that say to us? The same thing can happen to us. And so that question that Jesus is asking, "Do you love me?" is not one that we should take lightly. Why is it that we should love the Lord? Well, I would say to you, first of all, this morning, it's because He has first loved us. And in 1 John chapter 4, John speaks about the fact that Jesus, we love Him because He first loved us. In this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And in verse 19, we love Him because He first loved us. And a second reason that we love the Lord, should love the Lord, is because He provides for us so faithfully. We're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, as Gary mentioned just a moment ago, when we, on the first day of the week, are to lay by in store as God has prospered us. And God has prospered us. God has been faithful to provide for us. In fact, He promised us that if we seek first His kingdom, that we will have no worries. We will not need to worry about food and clothing and those needs of our life. James chapter 1 and verse 17, it says that every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. The book of Psalms speaks about the fact that the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. In other words, God owns everything, and He is in control of this world. And He knows who His people are, and He watches out for us, and He provides for us. So shouldn't we love Him and seek to serve Him and put Him first in our lives? We need to love Him also because of all the spiritual blessings that He has blessed us with. And we're told in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 that blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Adopted us as His children. He predestined us to be His from before the foundation of the world, and be holy in His service, and to be His own people. We're told in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, Peter said, that is, according to His divine power, has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Spiritual blessings. And I would also point out that God is watching over our souls, protecting our souls. Now, I would not go so far to say of that we are once saved, always saved, as the religious world would have us think sometimes. But there is a certain amount of security that we can have in Christ, that we can have a hope. And as 1 Peter chapter 1 speaks about that hope, he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to His abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So Peter is saying that there is a certain security that we can have in Christ, and that we are kept through faith for this salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Really is like a garrison. That is like, you know, if the old days you were in a fort, like a good example, Fort McHenry near Baltimore, where the Americans were fighting the British when they, you know, the Star Spangled Banner, that song was first written by Francis Scott Key. But it's a big walled enclosure, and you would be fighting against the enemy from within the walls of that. There'd be a certain security there. You don't go outside, in other words, but inside that compound, there is a protection, there's safety that you can have. And that's a similar word that Peter is using here. We are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. God has done so much for us. Don't you think we need to love the Lord and not let our love grow cold? That we would allow other things to come between us and the Lord, and putting Him first and worshiping faithfully and being dedicated to Him in our lives. The second area that I would like to point out is the love that we have for the church. We need to not let that love grow cold either. Whenever we think about our love for the church, we think about our brothers and sisters. And the problem is that when we live in a day and time, like the Bible warned there will be in these last days in which we are living, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul said, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God." The thing about that is that when we live in a day and time where people have a tendency to be lovers of themselves more than lovers of God, then they don't spend much time thinking about their love for their brothers and sisters. Like Gary was mentioning, that one of the privileges we have is giving and having our brothers and sisters, like Maurice pointed out, in the Philippines, that had their homes damaged. That if we have fallen into that, our love has grown cold for the church and for our brothers and sisters, and we are lovers of ourselves more than lovers of God, it's just going to go hand in hand that we're not going to care very much about anyone else. There's a lot being said about narcissism in our society today. Some people think, well, that's great. That's what I want to be. You realize what that really means is, it means a person thinks the whole world revolves around themselves. And that's exactly what he's warning about here. People would be lovers of themselves, boasters, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. The only one they care about is themselves, in other words. Think about all the problems we have in our society today is because of that very attitude. The Bible says that we need to love one another fervently with a pure heart. And in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22 and 23, "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever." The reason behind that is, of course, that we are family. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are members of the household of God. And as Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 3, that when we come together, we need to be thinking of how we ought to conduct ourselves in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. But it carries the idea of the household of God, the family of God. And one thing that this does, Jesus says, it proves that we are His disciples. He said that a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. So it proves to those around us that we are His disciples if we have love for one another. And when there are trials, that is really the time when it is put to the test whether we truly do love one another. Because there is a tendency that goes on in our thinking that if I am having enough problems of my own to deal with, how do I have any time to think of my brothers and sisters? I mean, I can't even get my own life together. I'm got problems, you know, overwhelmed with, and I'm dealing with, and why doesn't someone try to help me? But we need to have the attitude that Jesus is teaching, that's when we need to have love for one another. Maybe we are going through some difficult times, but it's no reason for us to let our love grow cold for our brothers and sisters. Romans chapter 12, he says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse." I said that was one of the things I appreciated about Don Richardson. That Don was always loving in return. That he didn't let some petty issue come in the way of his showing his love for others. We need to have that kind of attitude. And we need to not become bitter or angry. I've seen that happen with Christians sometimes. Becoming bitter, becoming angry, having some grudge that they're holding, harboring from years ago. Oh, you know, they didn't show me, they weren't friendly at that congregation. Somebody said something, and they're carrying that around for the next 25 years, holding that as a grudge. Well, how many times have we gone to God and asked Him for forgiveness? And He has forgiven us. Why is it that we cannot forgive another person who said something maybe that hurt us? But Paul says, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." Well, our love should not grow cold for the lost. And again, we're living in a time where people are lovers of themselves. And there's a tendency that it would affect our marriage. It would affect many other things. It would affect how we respond to other people. I think I've got something out of sequence here. Maybe. Love for the lost. Let me just quickly touch upon that, because in Luke chapter 19, Jesus came to seek and save the lost. And we are to have a desire in our hearts to be caring for the souls of people. And it might be whenever we are, you know, out in a public place. It might be in the grocery store. It might be like Jerry riding on the shuttle van. But we have an opportunity to talk to another person. Do you think about that? That's a golden opportunity to say something about the Lord. To let it be known that you're a Christian. You believe in God. Just something that you can say that sparks that, plants that seed. We need to have that love for the lost. Because one soul is more precious than all the world. we have a tendency sometimes because we know that people in the world, and this might be true of some of our own friends and neighbors, that they are not believers. And maybe there are things in their lives that are wrong, and things that are sinful ways of life that they have. The Bible teaches us this principle that we need to hate the sin but love the sinner. And that's the way Jesus was. Because Jesus hated sin. And he spoke out against it. He went into the temple and he turned over the money changers of the temple and drove out the those that were selling the sheep and oxen and so forth. But at the same time, Jesus loved the people. And that's the way we each need to do. We need to not grow cold in our love for one another. Fourth area that I want to get to in this discussion here, and I think I've got it wrong on my chart, that is the love for our own spouse, the love for our own wife and children. Let's put it that way. Again, this love of self that is going on in our culture today is going to affect how people even respond within their marriage relation many times. It does speak about that in 2 Timothy chapter 3, that they are without natural affection, that they are unloving, unforgiving. So many times, when people grow cold to the Lord, it has a effect upon their marriage relationship. And we develop a selfish attitude, a self-centeredness, a coldness about life in general that can carry over in our own marriage. And what it can lead to is then an attraction to others. A person maybe is having a bitterness going on within their own marriage relationship. They go to work the next day, and there's some cute little other gal that works there, and, you seem kind of down today. Want to tell me about it? And first thing you know, you've got a little conversation going on there that can lead to something. If we're not careful. Book of Proverbs warns about that. That you cannot take that into your... You cannot take coals of fire into your bosom, it says. And not get burned. So, the way to head that off at the pass is love your wife as Christ loved the church. Ephesians chapter 5. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. What that is saying to me is that I need to love Karen the way Christ loved the church. I believe that's what it's saying to each one of us as husbands. That we need to have a very tender affection and love for our wives. Wives also need reminding to love their husbands. And it says in Titus chapter 2 that the older women should teach their husbands. Or should teach the younger women. Not teach their husbands. Their husbands aren't going to listen. So... they need to teach the younger women to love their husbands and to love their children. Well, I kind of got this backwards in my notes here somehow. But hopefully you get the message. Jesus is warning that in these times that we're living, the love of many will grow cold. I think we look around, we see some evidence that has been happening. We need to not let it happen in our time today. Speaking of cold, we've got some white stuff falling outside the window. But I hope that's not a commentary upon our lives that our love is growing cold. We need to work hard to be diligent. As Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians or 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 13, he says, "But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good." That is our lesson for this morning. If you're here and subject to the invitation, I hope that you'll respond to it. And we invite you to come as we stand together and sing.
For 271. I'm sorry, 271. I had it wrong on the board. 271.